And so we are in the middle of the birth certificate series, all right? Birth certificate series, and basically last week, so I want to do a review because last week you guys received I got some handouts today, if you don't mind, being the teacher's assistant, if you will, sir, Uncle Jerry. We gave out a birth certificate last week, guys, and if you didn't receive one, I have it on the screen. And this birth certificate was definitely complicated. Everybody say complicated? Complicated. This probably is the most complicated birth certificate ever existed. Like, how are you going to fill out on this birth certificate? This is just a review. The Father's name of Jesus. When I tell you that this birth certificate is complicated, but yet it's complete. Everybody say complicated, but it's complete. And so I'm going to do just a quick review from last week, because in this birth certificate series, there is complexities concerning the birth certificate of Jesus. And the complexity or the confusion is around the deity of Jesus. Everybody say deity. Of Jesus. In other words, Jesus is human and he's also divine. Does that make sense? So he's human and he's divine. And so as the handouts are coming around, I'm going to tell a few jokes, and because I see about 10 more handouts. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me what? On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden rings. All right. Jokes up. I see all the handouts. All the handouts are out. So in this review, guys, last week we were somewhat trying to make a case for the defense of the deity of Jesus. Do y'all not know what we believe if all of us are Christians in this room? Christmas is our season. This is our time. It's not just about the candy canes and the macaroni and cheese and the pound cakes. Hallelujah. Pound cakes and the macaroni and cheese. It's about Jesus humbling himself and coming to earth for us. Look at somebody and say, you're important. You're important. God himself humbled himself for us. That's what Christmas is about. It's about this humility that's displayed from God on high. A God so powerful that guys, he's powerful, so he is so powerful. Don't think he's limited in what he can do. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a God that powerful would take on flesh, but he's that powerful, that he would humble himself. And that should actually bring us to tears. In my opinion, that because a perfect God will come to earth for an imperfect Alpheus. Does that make sense? That should bring us to tears, because not only does he rejoice over us with singing, he literally took on flesh, which is ultimate humility, and he was crucified. He was talked about. He was humiliated for us. Amen? That's too quiet in here. I thought somebody was going to run out the door and say hallelujah, ayadabo, or something. Guys, the body changed, but his nature did not change. So last week, it was a case for the deity of Jesus. He is 1 year old, but he's still God. He's 6. But he's still God. He progresses, he's 12, but he's still God. He is 16 years old, but he's still God. I know it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around it. The body changed, but his nature did not change. Everybody say the body changed. The nature did not, his essence did not change. Essence meaning, on your handout, the inherent, unchanging nature of a thing or class of things. If I raise my voice today, I'm trying to prove, because two or three days ago, I didn't really have a voice to raise. So if I sound like 10 people today, y'all say God's been good to him because he's getting his voice back. Amen? Three days ago, I sounded like Barry White mixed with, what's the other, Teddy P. Guys, the body changed, but the nature did not change. So in essence, Jesus is God. His nature, he has the nature of God. His nature is not changing. That's why Jesus can be on earth and he can be perfect. Jesus did not sin. Amen? Jesus did not sin. And just because we can't figure it out doesn't mean it's not possible. I went on YouTube and I saw a comment. I don't really know who said this, but this YouTube comment is going to speak to us today. Y'all want to see it? And it basically said, y'all read this with me. Ready, set, go. How lame would it be to have a God we fully understand inside and out? I enjoy the unfathomable mystery of him. How does that feel to you guys? I can tell you right now, I don't know everything it is to know about a God that I trust in. I have some unanswered questions from a God that I trust. Amen? Amen. I just know that his ways is higher than my ways. Yes. Somebody say, your ways, God, is higher than my ways. I don't know why you let my family member die, but I trust you. I don't know why you let me go through this, but I trust you. I don't know why I'm going through this, but what? I trust you. I don't know why I'm in so much debt, but what? I don't know why I still have this pain, but what? I trust you. Anybody other than me trust God, even though you don't understand what he's doing? Anybody other than me? I'm telling you right now, listen, consider trusting God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in Chase, some trust in credit cards, some trust in Publix, some trust in WIC. Anybody else trust in God other than me? Amen. Amen. Let's trust in God. So, guys, these are the deity of Jesus scriptures. It says diet of Jesus, and I'm sure that why it's missing. I wonder what Jesus ate. Speaking of diet, what did Jesus eat? I'm sure it was a kosher diet. If anybody ever been to Israel, they own a kosher diet. All right? And Miss Sarah, I'm sorry, I'm just going to talk about food every single time I stand up here, Miss Sarah. Amen. But the food I'm talking about is the word of God right now. In John 1, read this with me. Don't go to sleep. Ready, set, go. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the... Excuse me, guys. John 8:58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you know Jesus saying this pretty much got him killed? You can't say something like this on earth and think you're going to get away with it. But he's only saying this because he's speaking from the authority of God. You only can say this. You know a true Cowboys fan when they're losing the whole season and they still wear the Cowboy, you know, the hat, the gear, the jersey. Like, you can't fake a Cowboys fan. Am I right about it? Amen. Now, like, if you're a Cowboys fan, you are diehard, you are true to it, you're going to your grave with blue blood. Is that the color? Yeah, that's the color of Cowboy. Right. You can't fake being God saying before there was Abraham, who all of the biblical characters respected. They respected Abraham and Moses, but he's like, I am greater than Abraham. I'm way before those guys. John 10:38 says, even though you do not believe in me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me. That is so confusing, I'm sure, in the Bible days. And I am in the Father. What in the world, Jesus, are you saying? You are God and God is in you, but yet I see you, but you're talking about God like he's somewhere else, but you're talking about God like he's right here in front of you. Philippians 2. This is the make me want to cry. I've lost a little weight. All 230, I'm in my 30s now, guys. I can button up my coat. But this will make a 230-something pound man want to cry. Philippians 2, read this with me and you'll understand why. Ready, set, go. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. In the likeness. Remember I said different. The body changed, but what did not change? His nature. And being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is just a review. So I said I was going to promise only 5 minutes on the review. But today I want to talk about I see you. So today, our anchor scripture for the birth certificate series is found in John 1. But I want to highlight a passage in John 1 and emphasize the topic today is I see you. Everybody say, I see you. So the anchor scripture basically summarizes a lot. In the beginning was the Word. Everybody say, was the Word, so y'all won't go to sleep. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, that's talking about Jesus. In the beginning, so we know Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So Jesus is right there according to John 1. Jesus is found in Genesis. Amen? Jesus is found in Genesis. Everybody agree? Can everybody see that? According to the scriptures, Jesus is in Genesis. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say, I see you. So if you keep reading in John 1, there's this interesting story that I want to highlight. Everybody okay? Amen. Y'all good? Is that chicken distracting y'all? Is that smell like dressing? Is that distracting y'all? Because if I feel like it's distracting y'all, I'm going to go 2 or 3 hours. And I'm going to go so long it's going to spoil and y'all ain't going to want to eat it. Everybody say spiritual food first and then natural food second. It's distracting me. I'm going to talk about what I just did in a second. I was projecting. And that's really what I'm talking about today. So Jesus, this is a story. You have Jesus. How many disciples rocked with Jesus? How many people rocked with Jesus? Jesus traveled with how many boys? 12. 12. So there was how many disciples? It was 12. It was 12 disciples. Okay. And so Jesus basically recruited his boys. And so this is an account where Jesus calls Philippi and he calls Nathanael to be a part of his tribe, his gang, his entourage, basically his crew. Everybody say his crew. That would basically turn the world upside down. Only 12, Jesus and 12 turned the world upside down. So in John 1, verse 43, read this with me, because there's a lot in this. And so in your Bible, you won't see it underlined. You won't see it in red in these places. You won't see it emphasized. That's Alfie's is doing. All right. So thank me later, because I want to emphasize something. John 1, verse 43, ready, set, go. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Philip, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Look at what happened next. So Jesus did what? He found who? He found Philip. And then Philip did what? Philip found Nathanael. So Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, Jesus, whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth is his name, the son of Joseph." Then look what happened. Look at what Nathanael said next. So Jesus found who? Come on, class. Jesus found who? And then Philip recruited who? Then Nathanael said to Philip, because Philip is telling Nathanael about who? About Jesus. Then Nathanael says, "Can any," read this with me, ready, set, go. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael, what you doing? Somebody say, Nathanael, what you doing? Then Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." Bro, I know you're skeptical. I know you're actually projecting. But Jesus, everybody say number one. Everybody say number one. Jesus saw Nathanael. You remember today's topic is what? I see you. I see you. Everybody say, "I see you." Come on, shout it out. Everybody say, "I see you." So y'all can wake up. All right. Normally you go to sleep after the food. Y'all going to sleep before the food. That's some going to be some good food today. Jesus said, "I see you. I saw." Where we at? Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree," everybody say number two. It is mentioned again that Jesus did what? Said what? I saw you. So now Nathanael is seen how many times? Or at least it's recorded or it's emphasized that Nathanael is seen twice. Verse 49, Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi," Jesus, "you are the Son of God." So Nathanael is seemingly convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, all because Jesus seemingly did what? Recognized him. Jesus said, "I see you, sir. I saw you. I see you and I saw you. I see you now and I saw you before I see you now." He said, "Before Philip recruited you, I called you. I know you in your feelings because you think I recruited Philip and Philip recruited you, and you didn't have the privilege of being recruited by me firsthand. But sir, don't think it's a mistake how things are set up for you to be in my presence. I am in control. I have a method. You don't understand it, but you are here because I want you here. Actually, before Philip recruited you, I actually recruited you. Philip is under my command. Amen. Philip is under my command. So if somebody, listen, guys, I don't know who this is for. If somebody's mistreating you and God allows it, don't think, listen, God is allowing it for a reason. Because I remember a scripture that says, God, there's a table prepared. A table is prepared in front of your enemies. Amen? It seemed like it's really sweet when your enemies can see you living it up. Amen. When they talk about you and you post on Instagram, "I'm debt free," or "I have peace. I have peace. I have a good marriage. I'm in Aruba." It's sweeter like that, right? So God, do your thing. Let the enemy just do his thing, because eventually, yeah, they're going to be right there. And when they scrolling on my feed, they're going to look at it and they just, yes, a table. Y'all okay? I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. So Nathanael is convinced, all because Jesus saw him. Verse 49, Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Then Jesus answered him, so you're saying you're convinced who I am, all because I saw you under the fig tree? Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Three times Jesus saw Nathanael. Everybody say, I see you. I want to highlight something, guys, that we need to be aware of that we should avoid. And that's projecting. Listen, Linda. Nathanael said, can anything come out of Nazareth? Nathanael, where are you getting that from? What in the world are you getting that from, Nathanael? John 1, 46. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's projecting. Let's read about projecting. All right, y'all okay? Don't go to sleep. I know we may need to be on the couch, drinking some tea on the counseling couch after this. But negative projecting is a... Y'all read this with me so it can really, really, really... We can learn together. Ready, say go. Or feelings onto someone else. It is a way for the individual to avoid dealing with their own issues and instead project them onto others. Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You're projecting, Nathanael. You're projecting, sir. Nathanael is struggling because he doesn't receive enough recognition or admiration from his own family, from his peers, which could be connected to his own background. So here's some examples of projecting. Y'all ready? If y'all want to write this down. So imagine someone is always late for work, y'all, and they may accuse everybody else of being unreliable and causing them to be late. This is projecting. This is an example of somebody projecting. Somebody may not be financially, secure themselves, but they will always seem to highlight the financial struggles of others. What you're pointing out in others is actually what you're struggling with. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael, you're really talking about yourself, perhaps. What you dealing with, Nathanael? In school, people always finding something wrong with you. But really what they're saying, young people, is there's really something wrong with them. Bullies. Let's say you don't like broccoli. You assume everybody else don't like broccoli. Oh, yeah, you know, I know you don't like broccoli. I know you don't like, you know, it's just, who likes broccoli? Who likes broccoli? Who likes kale? Who likes collard greens? I like collard greens. Amen? You ain't saved if you don't like collard greens. I'm projecting. A person who struggles with jealousy may accuse their spouse of being unfaithful, even when there's no evidence to support it. Anybody in this room, you struggle with relationships, it seems like the other person is like saying you did stuff that you didn't do, they projecting because they're telling on themselves. They're telling on themselves. An individual who is insecure about their appearance, oh my, just look straight ahead. Don't look around. may criticize others for their clothing or their makeup choices. Why she got on that makeup? Why she put that on? Why he put them shoes on with that suit? I'm secure, you be secure. So let's talk about it here. Why is Nathaniel projecting? There's always a root cause. He was one of the 12 disciples. So again, everybody say this with me. It's an explanation. It's not an excuse. The way you act, there may be an explanation for it, but it ain't an excuse. Don't think it's an excuse for you to be able to show out the way you're showing out. I'm not saying how you're showing out, but whatever it may be. But if you're projecting, Nathaniel, this is an explanation, but it's not an excuse. Because he is one of the 12 disciples, right? Ish. If you look up the 12 disciples, you will see actually Nathaniel / Bartholomew. And actually, if you follow me over the years with my work with young people, I always tell the young people my first name and my last name, but I never tell them my what? My middle name. But my middle name is actually up here, and you guys get it. If you didn't know, it starts with a B. And you guys, it's Christmas time. I'm in a giving spirit. My middle name is Bartholomew. Don't ask me. I can't spell it unless I see it written down. I don't know why my dad named me Alpheus Bartholomew Anderson. He just threw the Bible open, and whatever it landed, that's where he called me. But my middle name is Bartholomew. But it's also said that Bartholomew and Nathaniel may be the same person. So now we have an identity issue with Nathaniel. Because even to this day, we don't know if Nathaniel is Bartholomew or Bartholomew is Nathaniel. So where does Nathaniel fit? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's projecting. That's the wrong, you're projecting on the wrong person, because Jesus said what? I see you, sir, and I saw you. Amen? So if it's Bartholomew, that name is used more often going forward in the gospel. So even if, let's say Nathaniel is not Bartholomew. If Nathaniel is not Bartholomew, now Nathaniel is only mentioned one time. And then he's left out of the scriptures moving forward in the gospels. And Bartholomew is used going forward. So now he's left out. So now he's projecting because he's feeling left out. If Nathaniel is not Bartholomew, he's projecting because Jesus found Philip. Y'all got this right 10 minutes ago. Jesus found Philip, and Philip did what? Philip found Nathaniel. So Nathaniel was not selected, but referred. And he's in his feelings because he was referred. Perhaps he's projecting because Nathaniel's, so Jesus said, I saw you when you were under the what? Well, that's the Christmas tree, so I can't use that as a prop. But Jesus said, I saw you, Nathaniel, when you were under the fig tree. But you know the fig tree doesn't have a positive connotation, because in the scriptures, Jesus did what to the fig tree? He cursed it. And so perhaps Nathaniel is feeling in his feelings because he may think he's seen in a negative light because he associated with something that is cursed, that was cursed, or soon to be cursed. Perhaps. Am I making sense? So we have issues to this day of who Nathaniel really is and if he really belongs on Jesus' team. But good news, and I'll end with this. Hopefully I can end this in the next 2 hours, okay? So Jesus knew what buttons to push to connect with Nathaniel to change his heart. Because, guys, when you're projecting, when you are deflecting, it's a heart issue. When you don't want to confront the real you, when you want to basically When you're projecting, it's a heart issue. I'll just summarize it. It is an issue with your heart. But Jesus knew exactly what buttons to push to change his heart. And the button that Jesus triggered was empathy. Because Jesus himself knows what it feels like to be overlooked, to be abused, to be talked about, to be forgotten, to be underrated, to be mistreated, and to have embarrassing things going on in his family. Now, guys, you know in our families, we got some stuff we don't want nobody to know and we don't want to talk about. And the last thing we need to do is project and talk about your family. We ain't got no room to talk about nobody else's family. And all of God's people said, Jesus himself knows what it feels like to have embarrassing things to go on in his bloodline. Amen. I mean, he's got prostitutes in his bloodline. Amen. Killers and murderers in his bloodline. Jesus ain't projecting. He said, Nathaniel, I see you. I see you under the fig tree. I cursed the fig tree, but I didn't curse you. And by the way, you're under the fig tree. And speaking of tree, if we want to talk about trees, Jesus said, I am the tree of life. I am the tree of life. Amen. And let me absorb the curse, because I am eventually going to be hung on a tree, taking away any shame that you may be feeling right now to cause you to project and to not to see me for who I really am. Don't let your insecurities cause you to miss your blessing with people and with God himself. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, get over yourself and get blessed. Look at somebody and say, get over yourself and get this blessing. Get this blessing. Get over yourself and get this blessing. Jesus knows what it feels like to have all of this confusion around his identity. Nathaniel, it takes one to know one. That's why Jesus could heal Nathaniel. That's why he could touch Nathaniel's heart. All of the confusion and the drama around the identity of Jesus. In John 1, John had to clarify that he was not the Messiah. Confusion. In John number 2, the Jews wanted Jesus to prove that he had the authority to do the things like he did in the scriptures, like cleanse the temple of all the unrighteousness. John had to clarify again who Jesus was. Look at all of this drama around the identity of who Jesus was. It took the Samaritan woman who Jesus counseled at the well to help convince everybody else who Jesus was. So she was like, I seen a man. He talked to me at this well, and he told me who I was. He is really the Son of God. I'm telling you, you need to believe. Then everybody was like, okay, maybe she's got a point. Maybe she's got a point. It took all the hoops Jesus had to go through to convince everybody else who he was in the flesh. Like, he's performing miracles in front of the people, and they still, all of these hoops. He had to state his own case to set the record straight that he was the Son of God, that he was God. So Jesus knows exactly what it feels like to be left out. And then when Nathaniel starts to project, the only thing Jesus said that fixes it, I see you. And I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree. I see you. Not like in the physical sense, not with your retina, like I see you in the spirit. Like, I see what you're saying, you're projecting, but I see you, sir. It's like Jesus's advice or Jesus's reading my mail is way better than a counselor. Because a counselor can really get things out of you and can really help you see you for who you really are. But when Jesus said, I see you in the spirit, He can knock down so many walls that you have up. We are some of the most guarded people on earth. Even many of us as a race, because of history, we walk through life and in certain rooms, and we're so guarded, amen, because of history. Me and my wife been some places where we were like, man, a few years ago, we couldn't walk in here like this, but we're walking in here like this right now, amen. And we can be guarded. We can be guarded because of people mistreating us in the past. And it causes us to be, our heart to be hardened. And we don't enjoy our family members the way we should. We don't enjoy church like the way we should. We don't enjoy God the way we should. Because of our own issues and insecurities. Everybody in church are hypocrites. Projecting? What are you saying? Are you saying I'm a hypocrite? This is a hospital, and a hospital is for what? Sick. And who's the chief doctor? Yes, we're just a nurse. We got a praise and worship nurse. We have a teacher nurse, and we have the doctor that's gonna fix it. Everybody stand, and he's fixing it today by saying, I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I see you. I see you in ICU. I see you intensive care unit. He says, you need to be under my care. Yeah, go to counseling, go to a therapist, seek advice, but I see you. And maybe somebody today, all you needed to hear today was Jesus saying, I see you. I see you. Now, I don't see what you got on. I actually see what nobody else is thinking. Like, I see your heart. I know your heart. I know your insecurities. I know your fears. I know you think everybody knows, but they don't know. But I know, and I still love you. I see you should be freeing for somebody in this room today. Like it freed Nathaniel. And he said, you know what? You are God. Because it only a God like a God like this that has gone through what you've gone through, that can humble yourself and empathize and don't judge me and condemn me and simply say, I ain't gonna judge you. I just say I see you. And I still love you. I'm still going to love you. I saw you, I see you, and I'm going to see you in the future. And I'm still going to be right here, remaining the same. Is that good news to somebody? If that was good news today, good teaching, clap your hands. So on the handouts on the website, guys, I have some tips on overcoming projecting. I do have some tips on overcoming projecting. And if that word today was for somebody, raise your hand. If that word was for you, just raise your hand if that word was for you. And let's pray. I want you guys to just search your hearts. And this prayer is not about projecting. It's about the root cause of anything that's not right in your life, any unhappiness, any heart issues. I'm not talking about anything physical right now. God can heal that too. Amen. But I'm talking about any metaphysical sicknesses. Your heart hurts. Your feelings have been hurt. You are depressed. You have a series of negative thoughts. You have a series of dreams at night that you can't seem to shake, that you really don't want. At night, you don't want to wake up stressed because of the dreams you've had at night. the mental health battles you've had. I'm talking about adults. I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about those of you in this room. You're getting lost in thought, and it's destructive. You're thinking worst case scenario all the time. That is not the spirit of God, and God is not the author of confusion. And under God's presence right now, we cast that spirit of confusion out in the name of Jesus. Amen. With the spirit of Christ saying, I see you, that is going to eradicate any negative thoughts. Amen. So you guys, just search your heart and give it to God. If somebody hurt you and you can't seem to let it go, and now you have trust issues, give it to God. Give you a few moments, guys. Focus on Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Give it to God. In this moment, we're not going to rush too much. We're not going to rush past this. You guys fight to focus on what needs to change and what you need to give to God. So that may take a few minutes. So focus your spirit and your mind. I just want to point you guys into the right direction. It's about humility right now. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's expecting anything from you right now to deliver, to be somebody you're not. You're not expected to be a mom right now in this moment. You're not expected to be a dad. You're not expected to be a boss, an auntie, a daughter. It's about being loved by Jesus and being seen. This is the time to be seen. All of you, the good, the bad, the ugly. I don't know, but he knows. He says, I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you.